This morning we'll start a new series on the prayers of Paul. As you know, January is always the month of prayer for WBC. So everyone is invited every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here in the sanctuary to come and pray for our church and our neighborhood and for God's world that He has made. When I think about the prayers of Paul, what strikes me is how different it is to my prayers. And my prayers are similar to people that I know. When we pray together, the kind of prayers that we pray could be kind of similar, but they'll all be very different to Paul's prayers. Sometimes the prayers I pray would be, Lord God, please help me in this exam. I know I could have studied more, but I didn't. But I need your help. That's a very earnest prayer. Prayed from a position of deep trouble. And it's a call to God for help. So often I hear people pray that kind of prayer. Or we pray, Lord, please help me to get a new job, to get a new car, to get a new boyfriend. These different things that we would like in our lives, we ask God's help for those things. If we're married, we pray, Lord, please bless our children. Please bless our kids. Help them do well in school, protect them, bring them home safe. Lord, please protect us as a family. Lord, please bless us as a church. Lord, may your presence be with us. Those are the kind of prayers we normally pray. But Paul doesn't pray like that. Paul's prayers seems to be less about himself than our prayers. It's just a different quality to his prayer. And sometimes people would ask the question of Paul and say, Paul, your prayers, with all due respect, sound so heavenly minded that we're not sure that they're any earthly good. But here's the thing. Paul knows something. Paul knows something that we also know, but we don't always keep in mind. And that is the teaching that Jesus gave. When he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, that's the key of Paul's prayers. His prayers don't seem to be for these everyday things that we pray for. But his prayers are for the kingdom of God and for the righteousness of God. And as he prays for that, guess what happens? All the other things get added. Let us read what Paul writes to the Thessalonians. Very short prayer. It's from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. He says, to this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed so many years ago. This has been preserved for us and we can read it today. I pray that you would speak through this to us. And Lord, that you would do in us what you have planned and what you have purposed. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul says, to this end, we always pray for you. This is a prayer that he doesn't just pray once or twice or three times, but he says, I always pray this prayer. I don't think this always means like every second of every day, but I think what it means is that this prayer is always on his heart. This prayer is not far from his mind when he thinks about the Thessalonians. This prayer that God would bless them and protect them and make them successful. Noah doesn't pray for that. What is he praying for? He's praying for, number one, that he says that our God may make you worthy of his calling. We understand that we are called by God, called to be his sons and daughters. We understand that God is the one who made us and God is the one who calls us. But what Paul is praying for here is that between the calling and being with God, that God would make us worthy. He's the one that calls and he's the one that makes worthy those whom he calls. When's the last time that we've prayed that for someone else? Even our family or friends, people that we really love and care for. I pray that our God would make you worthy. Secondly, he prays that God may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. For us as believers, we understand that there are many times in our lives when we have a resolve to do something good. When we've decided, I want to help someone, or I want to serve, or I want to give in some way, I want to do something good. And if all those things worked out, this world would be a different place. But many times, those good resolves just don't come to anything. There's nothing wrong with a resolve, but it just doesn't always work out. But what Paul is praying for is that those good resolves would end up with good results. That the good resolve will end up in a good result. That is Paul's prayer. Secondly, every work of faith, every work that we do because of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. His prayer is very simple. He says, Lord, these things I pray for, that these things be done by your power. So many times we think that the good resolves come from ourselves, and we think that these works of faith can be done by our own power. That's where we are mistaken. Faith comes from God. Goodness comes from God. Good things and good faith all come from God. And it's by his power that this is done. And only by his power. There is no other way that this will get done. And so when Paul prays for this, he's praying for God's power to do what only God can do. And here's the reason why. He says, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. So that the name of Jesus may be glorified in you, the Thessalonians, and you, the Thessalonians, may be glorified in him. And I want to say the same thing this morning to you, people of WBC, that God's name may be glorified in you, and that you be glorified in God. That is the purpose. That is what Paul's saying. He says, I'm praying this prayer. I'm asking you, Lord God, that you would do these things so that. This is the end to which I'm praying. This is the goal that I'm striving for in my prayer. So that your glory may be in them. And they may be glorified in you. The glory of God is what Paul is praying for. You can see where he's shooting. He's not shooting down here. He's shooting up there. Paul's not thinking small thoughts here. He's thinking really, really big thoughts. But as he thinks those big thoughts and as he prays for those big items, guess what? All the small things will be included. That's the point. I'm praying that you may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by your power, so that your name may be glorified in them and they in you. And this happens according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything here is by grace. Nothing here is because they deserve it or they've earned it. It is by grace. The grace of our God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for God's grace, we wouldn't be here this morning. We wouldn't be called by Him. We wouldn't be made worthy by Him. We wouldn't be filled by Him. We wouldn't be empowered by Him. None of those things would be happening if it wasn't for His grace. It is the most wonderful thing, is the grace of God. But this morning I brought along a help, and I just need to get this over there, over here, and over here. Here we go. So this lamp right here was designed and was put together to become something that gives light. And this lamp, even though it's pretty nice, is not really worth much unless there's going to be light. Now, as many of you know, in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the very first question they ask is this: what is the chief end of man? So, what is the purpose? What are human beings for? We look at this lamp and we say, we know what this lamp is for. This lamp is to give light. And if it gives light, it'll be a good lamp. And if it doesn't give light, it'll be a bad lamp. But we know what it's for, what the chief end of this lamp is. The answer to that question, what is the chief end of man, is this: man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. To glorify Him and to enjoy His presence forever and ever and ever. That is what man was designed for. That is the goal. That is our purpose. In 1 Peter 4 verse 11 it says, that God in all things may be glorified. The glory of God is a silver thread which runs through all our actions. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. As a human being, we have been designed like this lamp. The lamp has been designed to give light. We have been designed to give glory. Glory to God. That's Paul's prayer. I'm praying that you be glorified in them and they be glorified in you. Because guess what? If we glorify God, God will draw us and we will be glorified with Him. It's a win-win situation. The Westminster Catechism says, everything works to some end in things natural and artificial. Now man, being a rational creature, must propose some end to himself, and that should be that he may lift up God in the world. He had better lose his life than the end of his living. The great truth asserted is that the end of every man's living should be to glorify God. Now here's the thing about this lamb. This lamb, we know now, I've told you, in case you didn't know, this lamb was designed to give light. This lamb is a pretty good lamb, it's pretty nice, but guess what? It's only when the power is supplied to that lamb that it's going to give light. Many of you were without power, and I'm looking at certain people in the audience, during the storms that we had. No power, no light. Look at that. This lamp cannot achieve what it's supposed to achieve. It cannot live up to its purpose. It cannot fulfill what it's been designed to do without the power. How many times are we trying to achieve something for God without His power? In John 15, Jesus says, "You can do nothing without me." But with Christ, praise the Lord, we can do all things. When His power comes, when His power is turned on in our lives, when we allow His power to work through us, guess what? The light is visible to all. The light shines. The light is beneficial to all those around it. So this is what Paul prays for. That God be glorified, and that this would happen through His power. The chief end of man is to glorify God. But guess what? Through sin, man has lost the ability to glorify God. Each and everyone. In Romans 3, it says, "But for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Everyone was designed to shine like this lamp. Every human being that was born has been designed to do this. But through sin, we have lost that glory. That light has gone. Not just for some people, but for each and every person. We all have sinned. But by His death on the cross, Jesus takes care of the sin problem. The great exchange takes place. The great exchange, when He exchanges His glory and His righteousness for our sin and our shame. What do we have to offer Him? Nothing. But He steps in to say, "Give me your sin, give me your shame. I will take that. And let me give you my glory, and let me give you my righteousness. That will be yours, and you can shine like you were supposed to do, like you were designed to do." You see, He takes the sin of the world upon Himself. He takes care of it in His own body. He is our hope of glory. He is the one in whom we will be glorified one day. But you see, there's a trajectory. The Scripture says that we will be changed from glory to glory as we look upon Him. Paul writes to Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." This transformation comes from the Lord. He is the one, it is His power, it is His Spirit, and it is His working in us that transforms us from one degree of glory to the next. The light that you see only comes by His power. and the light will burn until the day that we are with Him forever. But in that glorified state, the light will just be intensified trillions and trillions of times. The glory will just be exponentially more and higher and more powerful and deeper and stronger than ever before. And we are on this trajectory. We have some of the glory of the Lord in us. It's like this treasure that we have in jars of clay. But one day, this will be fully realized. And what Paul is praying for is he's praying for the here and now, the in-between. The light has already been turned on in us. But we're not there where we will be. But he says, in this meantime, as we travel through life, as we live, he's saying, Lord, make them worthy of your calling. Fulfill the resolve for good in them. Fulfill every work of faith in them by your power. So that as they travel through this world and through this life, they will be glorifying you. When people look at their lives, they will see the light. This is Paul's prayer. You say, Paul, but your prayer is so heavenly minded. Oh, but that prayer is so practical. That prayer is for the here and for the now, not just for the there and the then. I want to pray for us. But before I do, I want to just invite you in this season of prayer that we're in the month of January. I want to invite you to consider the prayers that you're praying. For those you know, those you love, and those you don't know. Let us allow Paul's prayers to inform us how we pray. That our prayers will become bigger. That our prayers will become kingdom prayers. Prayers that bring honor and glory to God. As we pray those prayers, all these other things will be added to us. Our Father in heaven knows what we need. He's not deaf. He's not blind. He understands. But I want to invite you in this month of January. I want to invite you to pray big prayers. Kingdom prayers. Prayers that will bring glory to God and will shine like light. A light that no one can dim. And no one can put out. Because it's sustained by the power of God Himself. Brothers and sisters, this is what we've been designed for. This is our chief end. This is what we're supposed to be about. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us, your grace and your mercy. Everything we are, everything we ever hope to be is because of your grace. Everything we are, everything you've made us to be is by your power. I pray, Lord, that we, each one of us, Lord, would bring glory to you in our lives. We know, Lord, that this can only be by your power, but I pray that we would offer ourselves as living sacrifices. I pray that we would open our hearts and our lives to you so that your power can flow through us, so that the light can shine. Lord God, for those of us who feel demoralized in our prayer lives, I pray that you would enthuse us. I pray that your power would start the light flickering and shining and becoming brighter and brighter as we pray. For those of us who are strong in our prayers, I pray, Lord, that You would direct our prayers. That we would pray more like Paul did, and sometimes we do. I pray, Lord Jesus, that all these things would bring glory to You. That Your name will be lifted up high. That Your name will be worshipped. That Your name will be glorified. In each and every day. And in each and every one of us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.